Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our first of the series of Wednesday morning talks by our chaplains, which we will continue to do each Wednesday as long as we are asked to be contained in our own homes or wherever we might be. So I'd like to take this opportunity now to welcome Monsignor Edward Dillon from the Atlanta region, who's been our magistral chaplain from there for the last 25 years. Monsignor, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Frau Tom.
Good morning, and the floor is yours.
Thank you. Thank you, Frau Tom, and good, I guess it's actually technically now afternoon, so good afternoon, everybody. Frau Tom asked me if I would say a little something about Holy Week and Easter, particularly, of course, as we're dealing with the difficulties of the present situation, not only in the United States, but throughout the world. The ceremonies of Holy Week, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, they're actually, as you probably all know, are all one continuous liturgy, leading us up to the celebration of the resurrection on Easter Sunday morning. Now, let's back up to today, Wednesday of Holy Week, because this is sort of, if you will, the springboard into that. The first reading of the Mass today is taken from the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah, the section that we are actually using for today's Mass, or that's been given to us for today's Mass, begins with the following quote: "The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them." Now think about how appropriate that is for our country and the world today, as we all face the challenges that are presented by the pandemic, because everybody obviously is weary and we need all the support and encouragement we can get. The shutdown, and I use that term in quotes, that's part of our new reality of life, is impacting most people in significantly different ways, but significantly negative ways. A lot of people are experiencing depression, they're experiencing anxiety, even panic to some extent, and everybody cabin fever in degrees like never before. God is part of our solution for that, and I do think that that's especially true now during Holy Week. It's important to remember that our faith does not and was never intended to shield us from the issues of life, whatever they may be: disease, disaster, death, anxiety, from the worries and cares those sorts of realities bring to all of us. The current pandemic falls into that category. Our faith is not going to make it go away, but our faith does have the potential to transform all of those realities, including the present one. So when Isaiah says, "The Lord has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary, that a word that will rouse them," we can come back to the fact that that's what Jesus did in the events that we celebrate over the course of the next 3 days and Easter Sunday. A quick review. Tomorrow evening, and I should say that all of these are going to be quite a bit different this year from norm. Rome has given special directions on how the various celebrations of Holy Week are to be done this year. They're streamlined, they're reduced in very large measure, except for scripture reading. So they will look a fair bit different. And interestingly enough, actually, they'll look an awful lot like how these ceremonies were about 50 years ago, when most of them were actually performed with no congregation present. Tomorrow we'll celebrate the Mass of the Lord's Supper. Now, go back to the occasion of the supper, when Jesus, in the course of that meal with his apostles, gave us the Mass, the ordained priesthood, and the Eucharist. All three of those were intended to be and were the means which would enable him to remain with us, his people, in a tangible manner in every place and at all times throughout history, not just in our daily lives today, but throughout all of history. The priesthood continues, the Eucharist continues, the Mass continues. Now, we can't attend Mass in person right now, but Mass continues in the church, and so does Jesus. Fortunately, many parishes have figured out ways for people to participate online. It's never going to be the same, of course, since we're not there in person, but we are still linked to the believing community, and that's very, very important. This conference is a good case in point because it enables us to be linked to our brothers and sisters in the Order of Malta, and that spiritual linkage is very important. Jesus' death on the cross accomplishes part of God's overall plan, namely the forgiveness of sins. But there was a second dimension to God's plan. And that other component of God's plan was his special message, which he first gave to Abraham. God actually could have forgiven the sins of the world in any of a wide variety, infinite variety, I suppose, of possibilities, a thought, a wish, a snap of his fingers. But what he couldn't do, and I use the word couldn't advisedly here, is demonstrate to you and to me just how much he actually loves us. That necessitated him sending his son to die on the cross as a graphic demonstration that he not only loves us, but of how much he loves us. The realization of God's love brings us to hope in God, and hope says to us that because God loves us, he will do what is good for us. Now, it doesn't take the problems away, but they do lose some of the power they otherwise would have over us. They lose a great deal of the power to cause us anxiety, nervousness, or depression. Holy Saturday is next. That's the time when Jesus was in the tomb. It transitions us to the moment when he left that tomb and was risen from the dead. The resurrection is the ultimate basis for all of our hopes, so we focus on that on Sunday morning. It is the event that enables us to place all our trust in God. The underlying virtue for Holy Week is not simply faith, it's hope. That is magnified if we let it be in us during the Easter season. That gives us the basis on which we unite ourselves with making the salvation present in the world and focusing ourselves on the reality of that day. The traditional greeting for Easter Sunday morning was, "He is risen." The traditional response is, "He is truly risen." Both of them are expressions of wonder at the miracle that occurred, the miracle of God's love for us manifested in Jesus. Now, in the Order of Malta, we join ourselves in doing the work of the gospel as Jesus taught. We go back to Matthew's gospel in chapter 25, where he talks about feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and caring for the sick. The parallel to that, and also critically important, is to bring the message and hope of the gospel to others and actually to ourselves. And that's what we embrace in the spiritual dimension of the order. One of the consistent teachings of the church that ties very much into our present experience is the notion of salvific suffering, the belief that human suffering has value. We don't seek it in and of itself, but it does have value. The idea that embraced as the will of God, we can, by our sufferings, bring other people to salvation. Some of you who went to school with the nuns will remember the old idea of offering it up. Well, there is some value and truth to all of that. We don't hear a lot about it in recent years, but it is important. If you think back to the final weeks and months of Pope John Paul II's life, you'll see there how mightily he preached that message in his final days on earth. That idea helps us to look at the challenges that are part of our ordinary lives and the burdens they lay on us in a spirit of joining us to the sufferings of Jesus and offering them as our part in the work of redemption. It doesn't make those challenges and burdens go away, but it does transform them. They will no longer be totally negative realities. They will be invested with a positive dimension. It means putting up with our isolation, dealing with social distancing, even sneezing into our elbow has value in the eyes of God. We're doing it not just to protect ourselves, but as a protection for and service to others, and that's what's involved in the gospel. Offering the sacrifices we make to do our part in overcoming the current pandemic not only helps deal with the virus, but it helps us make salvation a present reality in our lives and in the lives of those around us. They should be doing the same. And if they're not, then don't hesitate to remind them, gently of course, of what they should be doing. We're having to do things differently now. It doesn't come to us naturally, so we need to help ourselves and help for ourselves and help to one another adjust to this new reality. I'd like to stress that we can look at this period of time, these 3-4 days, actually, if you count Sunday, when God has given us an immense opportunity in this current crisis. Our prayer, especially during this time, should be that we will embrace the opportunity gladly and come out on the other end as better Christians and hopefully as more dedicated members of our religious order. Now I'd like to lead us in the prayer, the collect, for the Mass of today. Let us pray. O God, who willed your Son to submit for our sake to the yoke of the cross, so that you might drive from us the power of the enemy, grant us, your servants, to attain the grace of the resurrection through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And may Almighty God bless all of you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Monsignor. And I would like to conclude with the daily prayer of the order. Lord Jesus, Thou hast seen fit to enlist me for thy service in the order of St. John of Jerusalem. I humbly entreat thee, through the intercession of the Most Holy Virgin of Palermo, of St. John the Baptist, Blessed Gerard, and all the saints, to keep me faithful to the traditions of our order. Be it mine to practice and defend the Catholic, the Apostolic, the Roman faith against sacrilege. Be it mine to practice charity towards my neighbors, especially the poor and sick. Give me the strength I need to carry out this my resolve, forgetful of myself, learning ever from thy holy gospel, a spirit of deep and generous Christian devotion, striving ever to promote God's glory, the world's peace, and all that may benefit the order of St. John of Jerusalem. Amen. I'd like to thank Monsignor Dillon for a very helpful and stabilizing message. I wish everybody a happy Easter and invite everyone to join us again next Wednesday, same time, same station. And now I'll ask Kyle to disconnect all of our calls. Thank you, everybody, for being with us.